Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
I just spent 4 days with a group of grandpas biking from Santa Monica to San Diego on e-bikes. It was a blast. It was fantastic. So much fun. But we spent our time as well soaking in Psalm 25. And the first verse of Psalm 25 says, O Lord, I give my life to you. Oh, Lord, I give my life to you. And here's the second line. I trust in you, oh God. I trust in you, oh God. I trust in you, oh God. And before I jump into the message, maybe without being creepy, just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. Let me lead us in a prayer. Our world needs prayer. The person next to you, you might not even know them, they need prayer. And so let me lead us in a prayer. And if God just puts a country or an issue in our world on your heart, just quietly say a prayer as God leads you. So kind Father, we pray for the person on our right, on our left, in front of us, behind us. Lord, we've all walked into this place, some of us filled with worry, fear, doubt. Some of us are spiritually hungry. Some of us are feeling apathetic. I'm so grateful that Psalm 25 reminds us that your love is unfailing, that you never give up on us, that you don't push us away when we struggle, but you draw us close. And we think even beyond ourselves, beyond this place this morning. We think of our community, and we pray for those that are hurting. We pray for those that are feeling a sense of helplessness and hopelessness, and not just in our community, but around the world in these pockets and places and countries. We pray for leaders that are making decisions that impact innocent civilians, and we think of places like Ukraine and Iran and Gaza and Israel, DR Congo, Rwanda. There's just so many places. And we pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in these places, that somehow, some way, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord. He's the life giver. He's the peacemaker. And so, Father, we cry out. We feel hopeless, like, what can we do? And so we turn to you and we pray and we say, Lord, would you heal our land? Would you heal our country? Would you heal our world of the violence, of the hate, of the misunderstandings, of the power, control, all that stuff that's just not the world that you want? And we proclaim the shalom of God over our world this morning. And somehow, some way, your peace, we pray, the peace that passes understanding, would guard the hearts and the minds of those that are suffering. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Welcome this morning. My name's John. I get to be on staff here. Last week, we started just a two-week series, last week and this week. And it's called becoming, becoming, becoming. That's one of my favorite discipleship words. Becoming has to do with all of us being in process of becoming more like Jesus. That's our hope. That's our desire. You may be in that place, you may not, but all of us are becoming something and someone. And our hope is, and our purpose is, to help people become more like Jesus, more Christ-like, more patient and kind, less rude, less demanding, more forgiving. It's the way of Jesus. And we started with a quote last week. I'm going to throw it up on the screen again. It's by this, back in the 1800s, there was this really passionate evangelist, revivalist. His name was D.L. Moody, and he's the one who said, and here it is, "What makes the Dead Sea dead? What makes the Dead Sea dead? Because it is all the time receiving, never giving out anything. It's always receiving, and it's never giving out anything. Why is it that many Christians are cold? Because they are all the time receiving and never giving out anything." It's a challenging verse. And what's he saying? He's saying that yes, we receive, but we've been blessed to be a blessing. We haven't been blessed so we can just become more and more famous and more this and more that. It's all about me. It's not all about me. It's we receive God's blessings so that we can bless others. So we live this way. There's not a scarcity mindset, but an abundance mindset, that God's blessings are so rich. And so I want to read for us Acts chapter 20. I picked this passage. One of my favorite passages in the New Testament is Acts 20. I'll actually allude to it later. My life verse comes out of Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But let me read this. Paul, he's on his third missionary journey. He's speaking in this text right here to leaders in the church of Ephesus. And I frame this talk thinking about becoming from consumer, a receiver, to a contributor, a giver. All of you, whether you're a leader or not, I frame this talk to leaders because if you're not a leader, I actually believe God wants you to become a leader. And the way you become a leader is to move from consuming and receiving to contributing and giving. And so here's the passage. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. "So guard yourselves. Guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, they'll come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you, night and day, and my many tears for you? And now, I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those that he has set apart for himself. I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who are with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive." And so I frame this talk, becoming a leader in the church the Jesus way, contribute or consume. Just a few reflections here this morning. First one is leaders contribute to build unity, not disunity, to build unity and to be or become the immunity system of the body. Are you familiar with the immunity system of your body? What's the purpose of it? It's to prevent disease. The immunity system in our body is there to prevent infection. It's to help us be healthy physically. And leaders in the church part of our purpose, whether you're one or becoming one, is to be the immunity system in the church, to help the church be a healthy body, to be a healthy family, to be a healthy community. And so to protect and guard, as Paul says. Did you notice that in verse? Guard yourselves, guard your own heart against envy and coveting and bitterness and judging others. Guard your heart. Guard yourselves and God's people means to protect, to pay attention, to prevent infection, right? And then he goes on to say, I know that false teachers this is a powerful, like vicious wolves. There are people that find themselves in their way into the church, and Paul's saying they're like vicious wolves. They're seeking to steal, kill, and destroy, to attack, to undermine, to sabotage the mission of God, the health of God's family. And he's saying, watch out. And they'll rise up, they'll distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. And so, just reading between the lines, why would he write this to the church in Ephesus? Think about that. Why would he write it? Because divisiveness was right there creeping in. There was something happening that he was about to leave them, and he knew that there was a spiritual cancer that could threaten and creep in and destroy this church. And so think about this with me. Leaders, our job is to care for the flock, to shepherd, to guard God's people, to protect God's family. Now, if I handed you a card and said, what are the things that threaten to become a cancer in the body of Christ? You could have a list of so many things. Some of you read about stories on the internet, in the newspaper, in NewsHawk. You talk to people, we hear things. And we've been part of churches where maybe there's been divisiveness. And the issues might be political. They might be relational. Power people or staff people can't get along, or somebody wanted the job and didn't get it, so then they just move across town and start their own thing. That happens. There's moral issues. We read about that, where people in my position or on staff positions do some very immoral things that leave people going, are you kidding me? Right? And there's threats that seek to creep in and destroy God's family and the work of God. And the role of leaders, not just pastors, anybody in leadership. I just gave this little talk to our children's workers. They're leading our kids. Paul is saying to this church, to the leaders in this church, be about unity. And the way you be about that is be the immunity system. You got to be on guard. You got to watch out. Doesn't mean being paranoid. It doesn't mean being on sin patrol. All right, it's my job to, hey, what time did you get up this morning? How many Bible verses did you memorize? We're not creating a sin patrol culture here. But we are looking out for, if there's cancer that's creeping in, vicious wolves, Paul's saying, and even as I say it, it feels like, wow, that feels so, ooh. But Paul's saying, you know what? That's the job of leaders, to protect the flock, to guard. And the issues go on. I've been in ministry a long time. I have stories of friends who had stuff happen in their churches that completely sabotage and undermine the mission of God. And that's why Paul here is saying, folks, pay attention, be on guard. This is serious business. Let's be about the mission of God. But in the midst of that, let's build unity. Let's not be divisive. Let's not talk around each other. Let's talk to each other. Don't send me an email. Set up an in-person meeting and let's talk about it one-on-one. Or in your small group, if there's weird, set up an appointment with each other. Have the difficult conversation one-on-one, in person. We can do that. And I love how Paul has such a heart, because when the church is healthy, it's contagious in such a beautiful way. But as you know, some of you, there are people that would never step foot in a church today. They're like, dude, I'm better. I mean, their lens, I actually live my life better than Christians are. Christians are full of hate. They're mean. They're this. They're that. They're immoral. They're, you know, divisive. Why would I want to be part of that? And yet the flip side, and what Paul's saying here, is we contribute to the unity. That's, as leaders, that's part of your job. As people in a church, part of your job is to contribute by being part of the unity of the church, speaking up for it, protecting and guarding. Let me jump to the second point. The second is that leaders contribute to make the big priority happen. To make the big, did you notice? Let me read verses 32 to 35. And now I entrust you to God and the message of his judgment and wrath. Is that what it says? No. And now I entrust you to God and the message of his, say it, grace. I love that word. I love that word. I actually, there was a book all on grace, and I gave it to a friend, and they didn't like it. They said, too much grace. Too much grace? What you talking about? Man, I need all the grace. You need all the grace that we can get. And now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up. That's who God is. That's what his grace does. Doesn't tear you down. Doesn't push you away. It builds us. God's interest in your life is to build you up, to make you stronger, to help you become a person that can love everyone always. He goes on to say, and give you an inheritance with all of those that he has set apart for himself. And then I love this. He says, I've never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs, even the needs of those who were with me. And I've been a constant example of how you can live for yourself. It's all about me and all the money's for me. That's not what it says. I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. See, I also think part of contributing to the unity of the church, it's by living beyond yourself. It's by being devoted for the sake of others. You come to church not just to consume, but to contribute so that others get to be in on the blessing, get to be in on the favor of God, get to be in on the big priority, which is receiving God's grace. And that's our priority. I just wrote it here in my notes and underlined it. Our priority is to point people of all ages to God and his grace, which is able to build you up. And that includes every kid, every teenager, every college, young adult, young married, old people like me, single. It includes everyone. The grace of God has the power to change your life. Did you know that? When you receive that grace, it changes you. It changes your heart towards God and towards others. And my life verse, Acts 20, verse 24, we were talking about it this week. It was interesting. But Paul says, I count my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. The gospel of God's unconditional love. The gospel of God's unmerited, we don't deserve it, favor in our lives. We don't earn it, we don't deserve it, but he generously pours it out onto us. The forgiveness of sins, the grace of provision and protection in our lives. And that's what I've devoted my life to, testifying, pointing to the gospel of God's grace, that God's grace, his unfailing love, if you allow it to change your life, it will. If you receive it, it'll change the way you live, from living for yourself to living beyond yourself. And that was Paul's priority. It wasn't coveting. It wasn't comparing. He wasn't consumed with more, more, more. We live in this culture of more, more, more. That wasn't Paul. He was working to supply his own needs and then to help others. That was his priority. And I think for those of us that want to be leaders, that becomes our priority. It's not just living for myself. It's living beyond myself. Now, I want to, it's kind of a little bit of a backup, but go back up to verse 28. It says, feed and shepherd God's flock. Feed God's flock. How many of you have heard the phrase in church, I'm not being fed? How many of you have heard that phrase? How many of you have said that phrase? I'm not being fed, right? So I'm part of a pastor's roundtable. There's eight of us pastors. We've been together, I don't know, 15, 20 years. And when we meet for like 4 or 5 days each year, we've talked about it. This is what pastors do. We get together and it's like, hey, my church is complaining. They're not being fed. They're not being fed. They're not being fed. We've all heard it. I came across a paradigm. You're not going to like it, but I'm going to share it with you because I want to encourage you, challenge you a little bit. And here's, think about a baby. A baby and physically needs someone else to feed him or her. An adolescent, a teenager, can feed himself or feed herself, right? And an adult, guess what an adult does? Feeds others. Now just apply that spiritually. If John Ireland is going, I'm not being fed, I'm not being fed, what does that say about John Ireland? I'm still a spiritual infant. Friends, it's time to grow up and become a person who can feed yourself. Read the Bible for yourself. Journal. Listen to God's voice. Let it nourish your soul. And then don't stop there. Maybe God wants to use you to be a leader to feed God's flock, to mentor somebody else, to teach the Bible to kids, to youth, to other adults, to be a small group leader. Spiritual babies are the ones crying, feed me, feed me. Here's my last point. Leaders contribute, that's the big idea, not just to build unity and the immunity system of the body and not just contributing to make the big priority happen, which is God's grace that builds us up, but then leaders contribute by living out the words of Jesus. It's more blessed to give. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And that word blessed is joy, fulfillment, satisfaction, meaning, refreshment to my soul, to your soul, that comes from helping others. That's what Jesus is saying. It includes money, but it's not just money. It's more blessed to give. Give what? Give love. I wrote a list here. Give others credit. If you work on a team at work, give others credit rather than take the credit for yourself. Give a helping hand. Give grace. Give forgiveness. Give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Give up being demanding. Give in. Be willing to compromise with your wife or your roommate or your husband. Give someone a second chance. Give a listening ear. Give. It's more blessed to live that way, leaning in, giving, rather than consuming and making life all about me. So I was on this bike trip the last 4 days, and some of you have been on a trip with John Ireland before, but I put a little booklet together, and it Psalm 25, and we're listening, and but before we go on a trip, I always huddle the guys up. And I've come up, I can't remember, maybe 15, 20 years ago, maybe more, I came up with this how to have a lousy trip list. How to have a lousy trip. And I read this before we go on a trip together. And the reason I read it is it really has a lot to do with being a Jesus person. In a way, how to create divisiveness is kind of in here. How to have come home from the trip and go, oh yeah, man, I'm not doing that again. Here's how to do it. And I'm going to read you the list, even if you, because some, you know, half of you, the women are like, how come we don't get to go on the guys' trips? Well, that's why we have women's ministry, and we're working on the trips. But for guys, we want every guy to go on a trip. Here's the list. I want you to think about how it relates to the sermon. Number one. How to have a lousy trip. Number one, make it all about you. I paid my money, now it's everybody else's job to make sure I have a great time. My comforts, my preferences, my must-haves are most important. So be demanding about the sleeping arrangements, the schedule, the food, the spiritual input guide. Be critical of it all. Number two, don't be interested in others. Just talk about yourself and try to impress others the whole time. Number three, be on your cell phone the whole time. At the house, around meals, on your bike. Number four, complain, whine, and grumble about everything. This trip is too expensive. The schedule's too demanding. Those guys are kind of weird. The weather, geez. Number five. Expect everyone to serve you and wait on you and clean up after you. Number six, be the guy who abuses alcohol and ruins it for future trips. Number seven, be closed off spiritually. Don't seek God. Instead, just look at the stock market and ESPN and check in on that during our solitude and spiritual time together. Number eight, don't be real and let others into your story, your struggles, and spiritual life. Just be superficial and just deflect. Number nine, talk politics. Be abrasive and try to convert everyone to your point of view. That'll make a really great trip. And number 10, just do your own thing and be on your own schedule. Be late to everything. Bike all by yourself every day. Eat alone, be that guy. And then I have this. And if you want to have a great time, then embrace the upside down kingdom mindset. Do just the opposite of each of these. Do just the opposite of each of these, the way of Jesus. What'd you hear? Not about you, not about me. Live this way, not this way. Be a contributor. That's the way of Jesus. You want to have a great trip? You want to be in a great church? Live this way. Become a contributor. Move, grow, become, shift from consumer. I just come and take to how can I give? How can I serve? How can I get more engaged? How can I help others? How can I bless others? How's your budget doing? Which, by the way, today's the last day of our fiscal year. Anybody wants to write a check, we'd love it. You want to live this way, we'll take your money. We need it. But this talk's not about that. I hope you hear that. This talk is really about who you are. You want to be part of a great church? You help become this church great that reaches others. We're going to reach people. You got to invite people. We're going to disciple people. You have to disciple people. It's all about living this way. So let's stand up. Let's stand up. I'm going to have the band come up. We're going to sing a song. And maybe I know there are some of you that are leaders. Maybe this could be actually a recommitment to, I want to be that kind of a leader. Or there are some of you that are aspiring that are like going, yeah, I realize I've just kind of come. I'm a consumer. I got some of the best friends of my life in this church. Some of you do, but you're still not contributing. You're just consuming. And some of your best friends are in this church, life friends. It's time to give. It's time to serve. It's time to help others. God's blessed you with those friendships. Now he says, now I want you to contribute. I want you to help others. And so as we sing this song, it's really a powerful song that Evan's selected for us. But if that's you today, you're like, I actually want to lean into this message. I want to become that kind of person and leader. Just put your hand on your heart. That's like your way of saying, God, as I sing this song, I'm going to sing it to you. But this is my commitment. Yeah, I want in. Now, we're going to have a prayer team. If we have our prayer team here, they're going to be here available. Some of you today have stuff going on that's hurtful, crazy, stressful. Come and let us pray over you during this song. Or maybe you're scared to death to become a spiritual leader in the community. Come for prayer. Let us just pray a powerful prayer of blessing over you that God would commission you. In a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate Cozy. Cozy, who's our family life pastor, she got ordained last night in Orlando. And I got some of us, yeah, it's so great. We're going to celebrate her in a couple of weeks. It was online. Our denomination put it on live, and I got to sit and watch and just celebrate her. It's really powerful. And there's a reason the church does that. There's a reason we put a hand on and we pray over. And that may be you. You say, I want to be, maybe not ordained, but I want to be a leader. I want to influence others towards Jesus. Let us pray for you this morning.